It's Finally Friday on Rush to Reason with your host, John Rush.
Jay Ray, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
So I tell him I'm a blowjob. And who do you think they give me?
The Dalai Lama himself.
So we finish 18, and he's going to stiff me. And I say, hey, Lama, hey, how about a little something, you know, for the effort, you know? And he says, oh, there won't be any money. When you die, on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
I think you got the wrong impression about me. I think in all fairness, I should explain to you exactly what it is that I do.
What I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
When does this happen in the movie?
Now. You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened then?
Past then.
When?
Just now. We're it now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
Now.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now? Soon.
Stick a fork in me, Jerry. I'm done.
Now, here is your host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number three is upon us. Myself, Andy, Charlie. We have a special guest joining us in a moment. The answer, by the way, to today's impossible question is, when it comes to fast food, 14% of us have eaten it here. Here is at the drive-thru window.
What?
Yeah, well, they're waiting for, like, their, you know, order to be fixed or whatever. They're just chowing away.
But your order is, you don't have it yet.
No, you, like, get it and eat it right there.
While other people wait.
That's why this says 14% have done that. Wow. So there you go. There's your answer to the question of the day. All right, our special guest joining us now from D.C. We appreciate him joining us. Brian, and it's Morgan Stern. Make sure I say that right, Brian. Assistant or special assistant to the president, deputy press secretary, and deputy communications director. Welcome to Rush to Reason.
John and Andy, good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
No, we really appreciate it. Talk to us about the SCOTUS nomination, what's been going on this past week, the hearings, and what's next.
Judge Barrett proved herself to be an outstanding choice for the Supreme Court. Her knowledge of the Constitution and the law was outstanding. Her handling of hostile questioners was really unbelievable. No notes in front of her at all, just proceeding from memory, proving to the American people just how deserving she is of this nomination.
Well said, by the way. Yes, very well said.
Hey, Brian, is it fair to say, I mean, all the judges he has appointed have been just terrific. It has been a parade of greatness. But is it fair to say this is the most impressive judge we have ever seen go in front of the Senate? I've never seen one this lights out.
Polished.
She's unbelievable. I think she's got to be one of the best, if not the best. And it's important to note that not only is she, you know, an incredibly bright person whose academic career was really terrific, and her the respect from her peers as a judge is really unmatched, but she's a working mom from the Midwest with seven kids.
Yep.
And she does all of it. So she's just a really special person. And I think our country is going to be very lucky to have her on the Supreme Court. And
my hope
is that she'll be engaged in a civic way to promote knowledge of our Constitution and appreciation for our fundamental rights in the way that Sandra Day O'Connor did with her civics sort of education efforts. And I think Judge Barrett would be a great person to engage in similar activities, in addition to obviously being an outstanding justice and upholding our rights in the way she rules.
I think she did a really good job as well when it came to some of the sort of, you know, gotcha questions that came her way, where, you know, what's your stance on Roe v. Wade? And, you know, of course, the answer is, well, it's not in front of me. How can I answer that question at this point? I mean, she did a really good job of, I think, handling and I don't want to say redirecting those questions, because they're good, you know, they're questions, but they're questions that can't be answered right now because she's not in a position to even answer them.
Right, exactly. I mean, sometimes the politicians they act like politicians, as you might expect.
That's right.
And so they want answers to policy questions, but that's not a judge's job.
That's not her responsibility. That's right.
Exactly. It's to explain her judicial philosophy, how she reads the Constitution, and how she reads statutes, and how she applies the law to facts. because that ultimately is her job. And so you can't have, you know, imagine being a litigant where your case, it's about your business or your freedom if you're a criminal defendant, and your case is before the Supreme Court, and you have a justice who's out there saying, well, if such and such a person were before me,
right,
I'd rule against them.
Exactly.
That's not going to give you any faith in the system. The judge has to have an open mind.
And that same thing came up last night, Brian, in the town hall with Donald Trump, where basically they were asking Donald Trump, you know, did you have any influence upon her when it would come to potentially, you know, the election possibly going to the Supreme Court? I mean, number one, what a stupid question. But number two, you know, Donald Trump did a fabulous job in answering, saying, no, I didn't talk to her about that at all because it wouldn't be right for me to do so.
Exactly. And I can tell you, I mean, from the White House perspective, you know, in going through the process with her and everything, I can confirm what she has testified to, which is that we would never put her in that position by asking a nominee, you know, if we have such and such a case, how are you going to rule? Because then that's going to put the nominee in an impossible position in terms of being a fair judge.
Correct.
And we just cannot, we can't do that. And we never would do that. And that's, you know, I'm proud of the president for clearly articulating that.
Well said.
You know, Brian, so often we look at some of the, I'm just going to be honest, some of the more liberal judges that have been on the Supreme Court, and you get this feeling that when lawyers go in front of them, a conservative lawyer is not even going to be heard, and a liberal lawyer was going to have an easy day. In this case, I get the feeling if conservative lawyers think, gee, she's on our side, they have something coming because they better have their A game. Both sides coming in front of her had better have their A game.
And know the Constitution.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, one of the debates going on during her hearings related to severability with the ACA, I think that's just a really good example that is a question that isn't really ideological. And some people might say, well, a conservative judge might be in favor of severability, you know, because it's the limited role of the more limited role of the court. Others would say, of course not, this, you know, the law violates the Commerce Clause or whatever it may be.
Right.
The fact is, it's not really an ideological question like so many others are. You have to root your arguments in the Constitution and the law. And we expect that is what Justice Barrett is going to do. She's not going to be an ideologue. She's going to be a constitutionalist. And that is the fundamental point. That is the reason why she's nominated. And that's why we think she's going to fairly uphold our fundamental rights as Americans. That is the only question, really.
And the other thing, too, Brian, that we saw, which, you know, I also appreciate, I don't know about you guys in the White House, but I know I appreciate it as a, you know, voting citizen, taxpayer of this great country, and that is when you see the results upon some of her students. You know, she's got the one, you know, blind student that, you know, spoke in front of the Senate and talked about, her being at Notre Dame and just the whole story there. And I'm not getting all the details because you can go out on YouTube and actually watch that particular interview. But I tell you what, Brian, the care and concern that she just has for people in general shows you a lot about what's inside of her heart.
Absolutely. The testimonials from people across the political spectrum, right, left, middle, and everything, you know, all across. People who served with her when her days as a Supreme Court clerk, people who clerked for liberal justices, people across the law faculty of Notre Dame from all stripes, people throughout her personal life who have come out of the woodwork and said, this person is fair-minded and she is absolutely qualified. The ABA did their review, so they talked to hundreds of people and couldn't find concerns about her because she's just such an outstanding person.
It's awesome.
And such a qualified nominee. It's really great.
One thing I want to ask you, though, Brian, and I'm glad you guys called in. Again, Brian Morgenstern is with us, Special Assistant to the President, Deputy Press Secretary, and Deputy Communications Director. Brian, one thing I read today, which I was appalled at it, but I wanted to get you guys' feedback on this. There's some articles out running around today that are basically talking about how poorly, what a poor position, you know, Trump and the White House put her in by nominating her now and, quote unquote, using her as a political tool at this time in an election year. Those are articles that are out there running around in the left media today. How would you answer those?
I would say that is outrageous and insulting. We put her there because the president is the president, and there was a vacancy on the Supreme Court. And just like the previous 29 times, the president did his job, and he picked the best qualified judge in America.
Yep,
and he nominated her. That is exactly what he should do. And the Senate, by the way, the Senate is doing its job by providing advice and consent, just as it did, you know, when President Obama nominated Judge Garland. The Senate did its job by not proceeding. That's what they wanted to do. That was their constitutional prerogative. Now they're exercising it this time. But there's absolutely no reason on the merits that they would deny Judge Barrett. And that's why the complaints really have nothing to do with her qualifications.
I agree.
Or whether or not she should be a justice. It's really about process, because that's all they can complain about. And that's how you know it was a great pick.
Well, and on top of that, and this is this particular individual, you know, Dianne Feinstein's actually taking some heat from her side by basically telling, you know, Lindsey Graham what she told him about it being a really great proceeding and one of the best she'd ever been in. And she's taking some heat on her side for even saying so, which, by the way, is a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah, and if you had told me earlier in the week that I would be really congratulating and praising Senator Feinstein, I would have said, you're out of your mind. But here we are. She did the right thing. She acknowledged that Chairman Graham ran a fair and thorough and expeditious process, which is what the chairman should do. And she recognized that. Even though they have their differences, she put them aside enough to recognize that. And that's big of her to do. That's a nice gesture.
No, she had some very kind words to say, which, like you, I was actually floored. I'm like, really? What, you know, am I hearing this correctly? What's going on here?
Yeah, well, you know what? It's nice of her to do, and it's a shame that our country is divided like this, and that the left is so radical that they would, you know, try to unseat her for doing a nice gesture. And more than that, though, if you look at how they're behaving with all of this, nominating a judge that promises to uphold the Constitution in their eyes is controversial. That should show you just how off the deep end their party has gone.
Well,
and every American.
And Brian, you know this as well as I. I talked to several folks this week, and, you know, close family, friends, listeners, and so on. And the reality, though, Brian, is that's because they don't want the Constitution to stay as it is. That's really the root of this. That's why they want their side to be there. That's why they want to pack the court. That question keeps coming up to Joe Biden over and over again. And the reality is they don't like the Constitution as it stands. Therein lies the problem.
Well, look at how they're valuing free speech. I mean, even the free press is now being suppressed by Twitter and Facebook.
That's right.
And all the rest, because ideas that don't fit their narrative, they view as violent and toxic. I mean, that's absurd. So you should, you know, all Americans should pay attention to the fact that our First Amendment, which includes speech and religion, by the way, they oftentimes don't want people to have freedom to worship.
Right.
We're looking at the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. Some of these rights that have been a part of our American culture since its founding are under attack from a major political party. And that should be really scary for Americans and show that President Trump keeping his promise by nominating a judge like Doug Barrett is really a critical fact that they should think about.
One more thing, and Andy's got a question too, but one more thing I want to just add to what you just said, Brian. If you as an American could watch both town halls last night and not leave last night knowing that there is a huge slant from one direction to the other. And folks, what I'm going to say is there is a huge opposition to President Trump from the media, and there's a huge like for Joe Biden on the other side. And Brian, if you couldn't see that after last night, you're blind as a bat.
Unbelievable, isn't it? He's not running against Joe Biden. He's running against the Democrats.
That's
and
right.
Joe Biden and NBC
and the press,
and ABC and CBS and Twitter and Facebook and Hollywood. It's all the people who think that common sense Americans are bad.
That's right.
I mean, and that is terrifying. President Trump is in the way between regular Americans with common sense and the radical left.
That's right.
And they should behave accordingly.
Really quick, an example of that. 73% of Biden's town hall questions were from Democrats. Only 20% of Trump's were from Republicans. Unreal.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't surprise me. And by the way, it's supposed to be a town hall where the voters were asking the questions.
Not Savannah?
Not Savannah
interrupting some, I don't know how many times last night, 50, 60 times at least.
That was an inquisition.
Talking about his tax returns and QAnon and all this weird stuff that voters are like, what are you talking about?
Thank you, Brian. The majority of the voters really, I believe, don't care.
No. They want to know, are my taxes going to go up or down? Am I going to have more job opportunities or less? Are we going to have more wars? Are we going to have more peace deals? Are we going to have a voice in Washington, or are we going to have just another person who's going to go along to get along? And these are the things the voters want to know.
That's right.
It's not these weird things that the media keeps peddling. By the way, it's the way they do this. Like, oh, here's a fringe conspiracy or something like that. Let me ask the president about it. If he says I don't know, they're going to say, oh, he's promoting it. They do this all the time. It is a farce, but they continue to do it. President handled himself very well, and I think he's now won a debate with Joe Biden and Chris Wallace. And now with Savannah Guthrie, soon, hopefully, he will actually get to debate just Joe Biden, because that would be what's fair. We'll see how next week goes. Although the moderator is, a member of our press corps who's not so friendly to the president again. So he's going to have another uphill battle. But the president is as strong as they come. And he will do another good job, I'm sure.
I agree.
Hey, Brian, really quick, what do you think of the second moderator being fired after admitting that he falsified, saying
his Twitter account had been hacked, but
saying his Twitter account had been hacked,
we all knew it hadn't been.
And this is a guy with pictures of him and Joe Biden together having fun, and he worked with Biden.
Yep.
My gosh, he was chosen. Yep. What do you think of all that?
Yeah, I think it's sad to see his career tarnished in this way by his own behavior. But it really casts into question the Presidential Debate Commission and how they're approaching these things.
I mean,
they're just lining up anti-Trump people to try to slant the playing field in the opposite direction. So I'll add the Debate Commission to the list of things that the president is running against.
Yes,
because they're on the list
exactly.
As well. If we have Wallace and Biden teaming up against Trump in the first one, and we have Savannah and the Debate Commission teaming up against him in the second one, what would actually kind of level the playing field? Let's have Sean Hannity moderate the second.
There you go. Now we're talking.
We'll see how the Democrats like it.
That's right.
But, of course, that would never happen.
No, it's not going
to
happen.
The president will continue to fight harder than anybody else for common sense.
Well, the reality is we're fighting the same fight, Brian. We're on your side. We're doing our very best to make sure that we get this thing taken care of, have a nice red wave here in the next about, 18 days roughly. So we got to get some things done. We still got a lot of work to do, but we'll get her done.
All right. Well, I hope so. And I got to tell you, I've traveled with the president all over the country. And when we visit with the American people and he shows up and people are lining the streets for miles to greet us, I mean, that's how I know that this country is full of people with common sense who want more jobs, more prosperity, more security. Mm. They appreciate their first responders, police, firemen, medical professionals, all the people that the president sticks up for. These common sense Americans are everywhere, and it gives me so much hope when I travel with him and see that this the list of people he's running against that I named for you, they are not in control.
Agreed.
People are in control.
Amen. Appreciate it. Brian Morgenstern, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Special Assistant to the President, Deputy Press Secretary, and Deputy Communications Director. You guys are welcome anytime. Brian, thank you very much. You want to come back on, just let us know, sir.
Thanks, guys. Great to be with you.
You're very welcome. Have a great weekend. We do appreciate your time. Let's take a quick time out. American National Insurance is next. My insurance agent, he would love to help you. Paul Leuenberger, 303-662-0789.
Get your unique vehicle insured for what you know it's worth. Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance gives you the coverage you expect, which means you have the money to replace your vehicle when something goes wrong. Here's a real story from a customer of Paul. A brand new custom vehicle in transport was not strapped on correctly. It fell off the transport vehicle and onto the highway through no fault of the owner. Because he had insured his vehicle with Paul Leuenberger, he filed a claim and replaced the vehicle, no questions asked. In fact, American National Insurance went to bat for him against the transport company to make sure he got the coverage he expected. With any other insurance, that story might have ended very differently. Make sure your unique vehicle is insured correctly so you get the coverage you expect. Call the personal insurance agent of John Rush, Paul Leuenberger, with American National Insurance at 303-662-0789.
Bruce Simmons is next, our reverse mortgage specialist. If you're looking potentially to do reverse mortgage and you want some details on it, Bruce can help you with all of that. Call him at 303-467-7821, or better yet, go to klzradio.com.
Between the high home values and low interest rates of today's market, you want to call Bruce Simmons now about refinancing your reverse mortgage. Your home value has increased since you first took out your loan. By refinancing at today's low interest rates, you could pull more money out of your house without increasing your loan balance. Convert an even larger portion of the value of your home into tax-free money that you may use however you wish. Plus, as long as you continue to pay your taxes and insurance, you will never need to worry about making a mortgage payment as long as you live in the home. KLZ's reverse mortgage professor, Bruce Simmons, makes a potentially confusing loan program easy to understand. Right now, Bruce can even walk you through the numbers virtually, line by line, from your home computer. Visit klzradio.com/reverse and ask Bruce to run the numbers for you. Find out how much you could benefit from refinancing your reverse mortgage.
Flesh and Beck, Kevin Flesh, no matter what you need, legally speaking, Kevin is your guy, trial tested, trial ready. He is ready to go to bat for you. 303-806-8886 or find him at fleshlawfirm.com.
KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law.
Red light cameras, what's the scoop on those?
First of all, you'll get something in the mail with a picture. The picture has to be the person that owns the vehicle. That's the only way that they can ID the driver is by the owner of the vehicle. So if you're driving someone else's vehicle and they get the ticket and your picture is on it, tell them to throw it away because they'll never be able to ID who it is that was driving. So even worst case scenario, I'm driving my own vehicle. I go through an intersection. They get a good picture. They will send me a notice. I still say throw that away.
Yeah, because they need to serve you.
That's right. And if they personally serve you, then you have to deal with it. But if they don't, trash.
Yeah, trashola.
It's a complete revenue generator.
It's all it is.
Yes.
It's just a tax.
Yep.
It's a driving tax.
That's exactly what
it is.
That's
all it is, people.
Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Common sense legal advice. 303-806-8886. 303-806-8886. FleshLawFirm.com.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. We appreciate you joining us tonight. We have a special guest joining us now. Let me get the our ladies queued up here real quick. We'll get that going. We have got Connie. And Connie, would you pronounce your last name for me, please? I'm sorry.
That's okay. Weisskopf.
Weisskopf. And then we also have Maureen West. Thank you both for joining us. We appreciate it. We have some, and by the way, you guys are both from the Boulder Pregnancy Resource Center. And Connie, your title is, you're the executive director, is that correct?
Correct.
And Maureen, what is your role?
I'm a board member.
You're just a board member. Okay, perfect. And we appreciate, by the way, again, both of you joining us. Proposition 118, I believe it is. Big deal coming up here on our ballot. Talk to us about that. Maureen, I know that the left and the other side, I should say, it's not just the left, but the other side uses some very unique words and phrases when they talk about these sorts of things, abortion especially. Fill us in, if you would.
Well, I think from the very beginning, the other side, those that support abortion, have framed the issue as a woman's right, and I would suggest that.
And, and real quick, I want to make sure, ladies, I'm correct. It's 115. I said 118. I made a mistake. It is 115. I apologize. I know these. I should know that by heart. My bad.
No problem. I would propose that if we are called pro-life, that that they should be called pro-death. And I say that with all due respect to all the women and men who have had to make this very difficult choice and now perhaps look back and understand what really, really happened and the truth. But I think that they are have been very good at framing the issues in terms of these women's rights, and I think that they continue to do that, and unfortunately, the public tends to buy it, of the public.
No, I agree, and Connie, you can speak to this as well, too, because the other thing that they talk about, you hear it all the time, and it really just grinds on me, this business of using the very, very, very minority portion of abortions of, you know, rape and incest, which, by the way, we all know is just a teeny, teeny fraction of what happens across the country. Basically, abortion gets used as birth control on a daily basis. But yet the other side always wants to pick out this little teeny faction of what actually happens on the abortion side and then use that for their, I don't want to say it, but basically that becomes their sword and their spear to move forward to make sure that they can keep abortions, you know, moving forward and that, you know, moving forward in a positive direction for their side. Am I right in what I'm saying, or that that's just a very, very small portion of abortions nationwide?
Yes, it's a tiny portion. It's like 0.001 or 0.01% of the population that become pregnant through rape or incest. And so they do use that to try to get to people's hearts. So, you know, we often hear, why would you force a woman to carry a baby to term through that was raped or through incest? And first of all, we never force a woman to do anything.
Right.
But we do educate them on what their choices are. And I'm a product. I was raped. And so knowing what it does to a woman's heart when, and I chose to terminate because that was what I was told would solve my problem. When we know that the baby isn't the problem, you know, it is, first of all, you know, it was a hard decision, but it was, I was never given any other options. And so knowing now what I know, absolutely would have chose life or adoption for my child. And that is why I, partly why I do what I do, is to educate women and men on this issue. And it's,
And realistically, Connie and Maureen both, we actually on our side are actually, I hate to use this term, but we are pro-choice more so than the other side is. They're pro. I wish we would use pro-choice, they're pro-death, because really we are giving ladies and you know, young ladies, older ladies, doesn't matter, and men included, an actual choice in what direction they want to head based upon actual factual data, showing them ultrasounds, what's going inside the mother's womb, and so on. We're actually pro-choice. We're not pro-death like they are.
And I often say that we are pro-choice because we do give women that choice. We educate them on all their choices. We stand beside them no matter what they choose, even though we know that it goes better for them if they choose life. But we will stand with them no matter what they choose. And this is often the time I say, you need to find out everything there is right to know about your choices.
Well said.
Hey, Maureen, I noticed, you know, Connie was mentioning that you guys give out information. And one thing I've really seen with the other side is that they want to restrict information. They want people to see fewer ultrasounds. They want them to see fewer of, you know, what's actually happening here. I always say, if you couldn't bear to watch a partial birth abortion, how can you support it? It just seems like the other side wants people to not see any of what they're supporting.
Well, I think, you know, from the very beginning, you know, Roe v. Wade, I'm a lawyer, so I can look at this from a legalistic point of view, and it's a very, very poorly decided decision, and they know that. They know
they
that
do.
If it were to come before the Supreme Court, the technology has changed so radically.
That's right.
That what the court was looking at that time, you know, they were looking at quickening. They didn't have the benefit of ultrasound and all incredible technology we have today. So, number one, they don't want to disseminate information because they absolutely do not have the science behind them. And they also just don't want to disseminate information because the truth of the matter is that what they're really purporting is that the circumstances of one's conception dictates whether they live or not.
Yep.
That's really what it all comes down to, even going back to the just previous comments about rape and incest. And the fact of the matter is that you can be born or conceived, I should say, into the most dire of circumstances, and you can have an incredibly prosperous and happy life. And conversely, you can be conceived into the best of circumstances with a silver spoon, and your life can, you know, ultimately wind up in to be a disaster. So they have no science behind them. They really don't have any logic behind them. And so if I were in their shoes, I wouldn't want to disseminate information either, because there's nothing that provides any kind of critical thinking that they can disseminate.
That's right. Well said. Okay, so it is a no, it's a yes. This is one of those where it's a kind of the opposite. We want to make sure we do yes on 115, which ends in Colorado abortions after 22 weeks. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
Okay, so folks, it's a yes on 115. We want to ban abortions after 22 weeks, which at that point babies can live and be very, to your point, Maureen, be very prosperous after that point as well. You know, I'm not going to get into all the details of what family they're born into and all of that, because as Maureen said, it really doesn't matter. That's not the issue at hand. Connie, Maureen, both, thank you very much. How do folks get a hold of you guys up in Boulder, by the way?
So we are at 2334 Broadway in Boulder, Suite D. They can call our number at 303-960-7915 or go to our website at boulderpregnancyresourcecenter.com.
Appreciate it very much, ladies. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend,
so
okay?
Much. Thank you.
You bet. Thank Take care. Again, that's Maureen and Connie. Thank you guys so much. We do appreciate it very much. Mark Smith joining us in just 1 second. Don't go anywhere. Pure for Chevrolet is up next. They want to help you buy your next new car or truck or whatever it happens to be. Used, new, whatever. They've got you taken care of. And don't forget, they'll sell you Corvette sports cars. They've got some used ones as well. And they'll buy your late model used car or truck. Just give them a call today, 303-659-8311. Or stop by and see them in Fort Lupton at Highway 52 and Highway 85.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. You know, being in business for 6 decades in any business is a tough thing to do, especially in today's highly complex and competitive world. As a small business, we certainly have experienced many trying times when there was no clear answer or path to take for survival. The COVID-19 virus for all of us has been the ultimate business disruptor, but once again, we've managed to keep on keeping on, and we are there to serve our many tried and true customers that have depended on us to always be there. We aren't and never will be a big high-flying dealership, but one with honesty and integrity and a culture of doing things right. We appreciate all our customers, many of which have come long distances to do business with us. We are proud of who we are and what we do. Purefoy proud. We certainly need and would appreciate a chance to earn your business, whether it would be for parts or service or if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. We'd love to be your Chevy dealer. Find us today at purefoychevrolet.com and find new roads.
Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith, he'd love to help you out with your financial future, and he does that by telling you the difference between wealth accumulation and retirement planning, because there's two differences there. Give Al a call today, 303-744-1128, or go to klzradio.com.
As people move toward the last phase of their lives, retirement, they're faced with many decisions, most of which are financial. For some, that can be filled with anxiety and uncertainty. I'm Al Smith, owner of Golden Eagle Financial, and I've been guiding people for many years as they prepare for or make that transition. I will listen very patiently about what you want your retirement to look like before I make any recommendations. In addition to creating the financial elements of a sound retirement plan, I'll share what I've learned from my clients about what they've done to make their final years fulfilling. It involves finding your purpose in retirement. For many, that may include giving back and helping those who need it. Arrange your free consultation with me, Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial, now at klzradio.com/money.
Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Folks, winter is coming. Get that vehicle ready. Doesn't matter what it is, whether it's alignment, tires, maintenance, you name it. They can take care of you. That's Geno's Auto Service. That's Geno's with a J, by the way. 303-794-6700. Steve Horvath, the owner, is going to be with me tomorrow on Drive Radio, so tune in then. But in the meantime, give them a call or find them online again at genosautoservice.com.
For over 37 years, Geno's has been your go-to auto service shop in Littleton for all of your car repair and maintenance needs. This month, take advantage of Geno's engine and cabin air filter special and receive a NAPA $20 gift card. Do you want to breathe better air in your vehicle? Your cabin air filter helps to remove pollen, dust, smoke, and pollutants from the air inside your car. It's recommended to change your cabin air filter once a year in Colorado. Your engine air filter prevents dust, dirt, and contaminants from your engine. With any service, we'll do a free battery check to get you safely back on the road. Geno's continues to service Larry's Automotive customers, honoring warranty work you may have had done. Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off for service and pick up when ready. Geno's is a Colorado Select member and conveniently located at Bowles and Platte Canyon. Check out Geno's Google reviews or call us with any questions. Visit Geno's online at genosautoservice.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Mark Smith. Mark, we got a little behind. We had a special guest from the White House call us, and we got a tad behind. So thanks for waiting. We appreciate it very much, sir.
Hey, guys.
How are we doing?
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you as well. What did you think of let's see, what do we want to call last night? One was sort of this friendly, sort of a garage sale atmosphere. Let's kind of ask what's on the table, and we'll let Joe explain. And then we had the pit bull going after Donald Trump.
Well, one was a love-in. The other was an inquisition.
Yeah, there you
go. Would that be accurate, Mark?
Yeah, I think actually, if you look at how the mainstream media is treating Donald Trump and how they handled this Hunter Biden New York Post mess, the reality is I think Americans are starting to see more and more just how anti-Donald Trump the entire establishment on the West and East Coast really is.
Yep.
And, you know, I think at some point it just snowballs. And if you look, you have Amy Coney Barrett, who is nominated by President Trump. She could not be a better Supreme Court justice.
Yep.
Her credentials are impeccable. She's from the Midwest. She's originally from Louisiana, the sportsman's capital of the world, if you will. She is a mother. She's a wife. She's a professional. She's an academic, and she's a judge. She is about as, you know, normal neighbor next door as you can get with those accomplishments. And this is the kind of person that Donald Trump is putting on the court. And then you combine that sort of sense of normalcy that Americans relate to, and you combine that with the behavior of Twitter and Facebook and NBC and the press as to how they actually portray Donald Trump in such a negative light, I think it is just starting to cause Americans more so than ever before to say, you know what, we don't like bullies, right? Americans have a tendency to cheer for the underdog, right? You know, if you watch a sporting event, you're cheering for the underdog. And Americans see Donald Trump, and even though he's the incumbent, he still is the underdog because he's fighting every single moneyed interest in America, all the media, you know, Silicon Valley, and on and on and on. And I think that by overplaying their hand, guys, I really think that the left and the mainstream media is making a strategic mistake and building a lot of sympathy votes for President Donald Trump on top of a very energized base he already has.
You know, Mark, you mentioned Facebook and Twitter. Do you think their recent actions of trying to hide the story of Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and all this kind of stuff overseas, do you think that's starting to make it actually more of a story? Because now everybody's talking about how it was hidden and why.
Absolutely.
They'd been better off running it.
Look, there's a very basic theory in psychology called reactance, which is nothing more than the forbidden fruit theory. And the way it goes is that when you try to prevent people from learning about something or from seeing something, guess what? You make that thing far more attractive.
That's right.
Once I tell you, you can't see that, everyone wants to see that. So when I saw what Twitter and Facebook and these others were trying to do to suppress the story in the on the cover of the fourth largest newspaper in America, the New York Post is the fourth largest newspaper in America, and they tried to suppress this, immediately you knew this was going to backfire big time. And by the way, I believe that there are other emails I've been reading just now. There are other emails coming out from other sources associated to corroborate some of this Hunter Biden stuff, apparently. And it's not just from the New York Post, and apparently it's not just from this computer, you know, the computer repair shop in Delaware. So we'll see how that plays out. But yes, I think it was a terrible mistake by Twitter and Facebook, because by doing what they did, they actually made it a greater story. And now they're going to get subpoenaed, apparently, by the Senate Judiciary Committee and have to testify next week about what's going on, which is going to make the story even bigger.
Yeah, and I predict at some point, Mark, which, by the way, I think needs to happen, their classification of being platforms needs to change, because they are no longer a platform. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, they are all publishers. We know that. You can see it. We saw it this past week. And the reality is they need to fall under the same guidelines a regular publisher does.
Look, it's really simple. The Internet, and the reason why they passed Section 230 was because they said, look, we want ISPs, Internet Service Providers, to function like the phone company. So if I'm on the phone and I defame people or I commit crimes using the phone company doesn't want to get sued, the phone company doesn't want to go to jail, and that's all this Section 230 was about, to let the Internet Service Providers and the people that provided the infrastructure to the Internet to be, you know, protected and immunized, if you will, people abuse and misuse it. That's what it was all about.
That's right.
But it has been broadly construed, and I'll tell you how that happened. If you ever read your terms and conditions for any of the big, you know, any of these terms and conditions, it will tell you that if you want to sue any of these big tech companies, there's a venue selection provision. Now, what a venue selection provision is, it says that if you want to sue me, you agree to sue me only in certain venues in the United States. You can't sue me in Colorado. You can't sue me in New York. You can't sue me in Florida. You have to sue me, and guess where? You have to sue us, big technology companies, in Northern California. That's what both of these things have said.
In other words, you got to sue us in Silicon Valley on our own turf.
Correct. So all of these Section 230 cases, not all of them, but a lot of the major ones arose, frankly, from these sort of, you know, these neighborly, friendly courts that obviously are in the hood with, you know, these companies. And guess what? You got very favorable rulings in favor of the Internet companies, which wasn't necessarily bad 20 years ago. But now, wow, it is being abused and must be revisited, in my view.
I agree. By the way, and by the way, I'm a tech guy. I'm also a guy that doesn't believe in government involvement. But Mark, when you start to abuse the privileges that have been given to you in this case, like you just explained, you know, the old ISP formats, if you would, or the law surrounding ISPs, these guys are now abusing, which, by the way, they're not even ISPs any longer anyways. That's a whole nother conversation for another day, and I don't want to get into that because most people don't have any idea what I'm talking about. But Facebook, just real quick, Facebook, Twitter, they are not internet service providers. They are working on top of those guys. In fact, they need those guys to even operate. They are not that.
Yes, they are publishers.
They are publishers.
And we know they're now publishers because when you start doing story selection...
They edit. Let's face it, Mark. Yeah, they are editors. They edit, which means they're publishers.
They are. And I think that's right. And I think... well, I think there'll be a lot of talk about this as to whether or not anything can be done about this. I just don't know. Because one of the problems, I think if there's going to be a change, frankly, it's going to have to come from the U.S. Supreme Court. Because if Donald Trump wins re-election, which I expect to happen, and if the Senate remains in Republican control, even if you have those two things, I think it's going to be very hard for the Republicans to take over the House.
Agreed.
You're not going to get any repeal of Section 230.
No.
And even if the Republicans took over the House, I don't think you would get 60 votes in the Senate to get around the filibuster rules to make the change. So the only way Section 230 is going to be narrowly construed again is if you start to have cases that go before the U.S. Supreme Court, which is the ultimate arbiter of what federal law means. And if the U.S. Supreme Court starts in a series of decisions cutting back on those protections, then you will get the attention of Silicon Valley.
And I think, by the way, everything you just said would be the roadmap to make that happen. Question for you would be, who, you know, because we know there'd have to be a lawsuit that would happen to begin with. Who would be the who'd be the plaintiff? Who's going to start the lawsuits?
Well, certainly it's going to have to be someone that feels they've been damaged.
Well, it'd have to be somebody like the New York Post, even, correct?
Could be the New York Post.
It'd have to be somebody big time like that, or you'd have to have a class action suit against all sorts of people that have had their accounts locked or things along those lines. Now, you also, though, have one big one that could actually go that direction, which just happened because I believe their account was locked not too long ago, and that would be the Trump campaign, correct?
Yes, that's right. You know, and I think the Trump campaign or the RNC, I forgot which one it was, but one of the Republican organizations, I believe today, has filed a complaint with the FEC claiming that this is some form of election interference, and some other politicians, I think, have talked about this. But again, you could have a situation where the Federal Elections Commission takes some position, sues Silicon Valley, and again, the case goes back and forth and back and forth and ultimately could go to the Supreme Court. But there just has to be some case the Supreme Court winds up taking. It could come out in all sorts of ways, defamation cases, maybe an election interference case, maybe a consumer fraud case. It's hard to say. All sorts of cases could give rise to this debate about the scope of Section 230. You never really know which kind of case gets to the Supreme Court because the court has a lot of discretion on what cases they take and what they don't take. But any of these kinds of theories could possibly get before the Supreme Court. And if that happens and there's five votes to narrow Section 230, well, Section 230 is going to get narrowed and the rest of the federal system has to follow that interpretation because Section 230 is a federal law and the Supreme Court's the final arbiter as to what that means and how to interpret a federal law.
I think these guys, frankly, Mark, my prediction, I said this earlier in the week, I think they're shooting themselves in the foot. They're not being very wise. Yeah, and granted, these guys aren't dummies. I mean, they didn't become billionaires by being morons. But when it comes to the political game and what they're doing along these lines, and or whoever's controlling the purse strings at those organizations are not being very smart because they're shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah, but, you know, keep in mind, I think there are certain professions where you can make a lot of money and not necessarily know much about the world. Think about athletes. Can get super, super rich and know nothing about money.
Doctors
can get super, super rich and know nothing about money. Actors can get super, super rich and know nothing about money. And I think technologists can often, right, they know about computers. They can get really, really rich by playing with computers and doing technology, but know nothing about money. So there is not necessarily a connection between how one gets rich and understanding how the world works, because there are certain professions where you can do very well financially and be very successful, but not actually understand how the world works. So I could see how people in Silicon Valley could think this is a good idea to censor the New York Post, not recognizing that it's going to backfire on them and just not looking down the chessboard appropriately. And that's what's happened, right?
If they would have
been so much better off just letting the thing circulate, everyone would have said, well, it's the New York Post. What do you expect? They're conservatives. And it would have disappeared. But now it can't disappear because of what they've just done.
No, you know what? Everything you just said, I believe wholeheartedly, and I really hadn't thought much about what you just said a moment ago about just because they've made a lot of money doesn't mean they're the smartest guys on the planet, especially financially speaking or even politically speaking, and they're proving that over and over again, which, again, you would think, though, somebody on their board of directors would come along and say, guys, time out. You cannot be doing what you're doing, or you're going to find yourself losing a lot of money on down the road, and I don't want to be a part of that. You'd think somebody somewhere along the line on the board of directors would say that.
Well, you know, it looks as if you look at the timeline, it seems like, as best I can tell, Twitter acted very quick on this story, and I wonder to what degree the decision was vetted by the senior management at Twitter. Maybe it was, and maybe they agreed to it, but it looked as if they moved rapidly to start shutting down these accounts and locking out these accounts of things like the spokesperson for the White House. You wonder whether or not someone just, you know, went out there, took this position, and senior management wasn't really in the loop on the decision-making, and when they finally realized what was going on, it was a little bit too late. The horse had escaped the barn, as they say.
No, you know what? Everything you said, I believe wholeheartedly. You're right on the money. All right, in closing, got about a minute or so left before I let you go. What does this next week hold for us?
Well, I think the most important thing to occur in the next week for the long-term, you know, health of America is that Amy Coney Barrett's going to, you know, be confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court. And that's very important because I think we, the people, are going to vote for Donald Trump, but I think they, the lawyers in these swing states, the way they may be playing games with some of the electioneering and some of the laws associated with ballot counting and whatnot, we may see a series of lawsuits, and I think it's very important that they have 9 justices on that Supreme Court before the election in case another Florida 2000 occurs, meaning they, the lawyers, sue to try to overturn one of these states' electors, and next thing you know, you're in front of the Supreme Court, and it's very important that Amy Coney Barrett be the 9th justice to address any kind of constitutional controversy that may arise from this upcoming presidential election. Although I don't think it's necessarily going to be that close. I think Trump may win.
I don't either.
But, you know, one never knows.
You never know. So I think that's where we'll have to leave it at that. I'm with you. I don't think it's going to be an issue, but you never know. And just in case, that needs to happen.
That's right. As they say, you want to prepare for the worst and hope for the best. I think the rule applies here, too.
I agree. Mark Smith, again, appreciate it very much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, sir. Have a great night. We really appreciate it. Smart guy, by the way. Love talking to Mark. He's got a great book out, by the way. If you want to read his book, you can. He is the author of The Vast Right-Wing Conspiracy. We'll be right back. Enchanted Kitchens is next, though. Get that kitchen in. Get it done. Get it handled before Christmas. But you got to start now. Go to klzradio.com.
You need to stand in your new kitchen to know what works. You have some ideas based on pictures you found online, but you've never actually seen, touched, or felt the counters and cabinets that will become part of your daily life. The Enchanted Kitchens design team built their experience center with you in mind, so you could feel at home, only better, giving you the chance to visualize your new kitchen ahead of time. I'm Marie Christine with Crawford Broadcasting, and I'm over 5'10". I spend a lot of time bending over my countertops at home. The first time I visited the award-winning showroom at Enchanted Kitchens, I stood next to a countertop that reached my waist. Suddenly, I could imagine standing up straight to cook. As a Rush to Reason listener, the design team at Enchanted Kitchens will meet with you for free in their Experience Center to help you solidify your vision of a kitchen design that works. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
All right, affordable interest mortgage. If you want to pay for that kitchen, talk to Kurt. He can help you do that. He's got multiple ways to make that happen. Give him a call today, 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loan to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
When politicians want to raise taxes, they're supposed to give you a say in the matter. They're not supposed to sidestep the law and make you pay more without your approval. But that's exactly what politicians are doing. And that's why we need Proposition 117. Proposition 117 gives us, the taxpayers, a voice. It allows us to vote on large fee increases, which we all know are just hidden taxes. For far too long, politicians in Colorado have raised the cost of car registrations, health insurance, and even hospital stays without giving voters a choice. They get away with it by calling their cost increases fees instead of tax hikes. Voting yes on Proposition 117 would change that and stop the hidden tax hikes. Vote yes on Proposition 117 to give Coloradans the voice they deserve. Paid for by Unite for Colorado. Katie Kennedy, registered agent.
You know you ought to take a second look at your home and auto insurance because premiums keep going up, but you haven't set aside the time. Let Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts help you for free. Make one free phone call today to review your plan. 303-423-0162.
All right, Extreme Auto Repair, where they want to take care of you, your vehicle. They got tires right now on sale, a $70 rebate. Plus, they sell them to you at cost, and they'll give you the free second opinion and a 15% discount. Go to klzradio.com or 303-841-1071.
Mistakes happen. Auto repair shops prove their mettle when something goes wrong. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker recognizes that mistakes happen. They're committed to doing what they say, even when that means replacing a failed part for free or honoring the original price they quoted a customer despite unexpected issues. They hear all the time from their loyal customers that's what keeps them coming back because of how the entire team responds when something goes wrong. The techs at Extreme Auto level with you, following through to fix the problem. They don't just replace parts, they repair vehicles. It's that same degree of integrity that keeps their employees around long-term, too. The average Extreme Auto technician has 16-plus years of experience, and they stick around because they share the same commitment when something goes wrong. We do what we say. No arguments, no excuses. Just apologize and work to make it right. KLZradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Don't forget to join me tomorrow for Drive Radio. Actually, Fix It Radio first thing in the morning at 9. Drive Radio followed up right after that. Steve Horvath from Geno's is going to join me. Dennis Brewster will be with me. We've also got our electrician, Bill from Arc Electric, joining us in the morning as well for Fix It Radio. But next week, we're doing what for movies?
One-liners.
That'll be awesome.
Movies with the best one-liners.
I can't wait. They'll be fun.
Yeah.
Those will be a blast.
There are so many.
There's tons.
Oh, my goodness.
So if you've got ideas for that, as always, let us know, me, Andy, whatever. You can text us 307 800-200-8222. You can go to the website or you can go to Facebook page as well. However you want to do that, just get us information and we'll have as many rolling out next week as we can. It'll be a blast.
I think so.
I'm looking forward to that. Oh, so yeah. It'll be a lot of fun. So, Andy, thanks. Have a great evening. Guys, have a great weekend. I'll see you tomorrow, though, right here on KLZ 560 Fix It Radio, followed up by Drive Radio. Enjoy your night, though. This is KLZ 560. We'll be right back.